Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, August 15th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Richard Adams. Richard grew up at Mountain Brook Baptist and has been a faithful lay leader throughout his life. I can't wait for him to talk more about that at the end of the podcast, but first he'll read God's Word for us. Thank you, Richard, for joining us today.
Mary, thanks for having me. This is going to be fun. We're going to have verses this morning from Luke 24, 45 through 49. From the NIV, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." Our second reading is from Psalms, Psalm 34, 8 through 10. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you are his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weary and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing."
Thank you so much, Richard, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. I have to be honest, I wanted a little more scripture today. You got off easy with just a few verses, but they're so rich. I hope we'll talk more about them at the end of the podcast. But first, tell me about your life. Did you grow up in Mountain Brook? And also tell me about your family.
Well, Mary, thanks for having me. I've lived in Mountain Brook all my life. My family is here. I am blessed to have four children, and three of them are basically in walking distance of my house, and one in Atlanta, which is only 2 hours away, and 13 grandchildren, which means I can't even remember the names, but age 2 to 22. But it's a great family situation, and been part of Mount Brook Baptist Church as long as I guess could walk or whatever. So
yes, you have such deep roots here. What stands out when you think about the church over those decades?
The world has changed. The church is not. It's the same kind of people, the same kind of leadership, the same attention to what's important, and that's the scriptures and the Bible and Jesus and salvation. And that hadn't changed. You think about a Baptist church that's really only had four or maybe five preachers over 75, 80 years. I guess we'll hit 80 years this year. That's amazing, and wonderful people.
How many of those pastors do you remember?
I was baptized by Reverend Waterhouse in the 50s, who was, I guess, the second pastor.
And then when Dr. Nelson came?
Dr. Nelson came. I remember the service well.
His first service?
First service. Something like 40 people joined the church because we'd been without a pastor for 2 years. And then, of course, Jim came and was here forever. And we're not letting Wayne and Mary leave, so that's another forever.
You were also baptized in this church. Would you share with us about that experience?
Well, it was when I was, relatively young, probably 10 or 12 years old, in what's now the chapel. That was the only building at the time, and there was a baptismal pool. Is that the right term?
I think
so. My brother and I baptized, and those are important times, but I think you grow in your faith so much that your faith is over decades and different seasons of life. And
share with me a little bit about that journey of faith.
Well, I did not have a Damascus Road moment. Be nice if you did, but did not. And I think for a lot of people, the proverb of "train up a child in the way of the Lord and he will not depart from it" is part of their faith journey. It wasn't a Saturday night that I didn't see my mother preparing her Sunday school lesson for what we call the old ladies class. And she taught for 15 or 20 years. The old ladies were probably in their 40s. But
there was a story about her in the 75th anniversary book. Speaking of that anniversary, you were the chairperson of the celebration for that. And it talked about her giftedness and teaching.
Well, good. I wrote some of those stories, and I've certainly read them all, but I enjoyed that. That was Catherine Allen putting those things together. And
anyway, you saw her model faithfulness.
Certainly. And my father was at church every Sunday. Dr. Nelson's story, and it's not totally untrue, that my father never, he went to church every Sunday, but he never made a benediction.
He was out of there?
Sermon that he was out of there. He had a tea time on the golf course, and that's what Dr. Nelson said, that he built the steeple high enough so that Tom Adams could feel guilty from every hole on the golf course.
Do you play golf?
I don't play anymore, no, but I don't want to feel guilty.
That's right.
But that is...
You're going to stay till the very end of every sermon. You know,
Dr. Nelson had a joke about everything, but that was his story.
I've heard you say that the church is the people, not the facility.
Yep.
But also that facilities are very important.
This building, this place is very important to me. And you can ask Wayne, maybe it's worshiping idols, I don't know. But
no.
I went with the church to Jerusalem, and you would see those people dressed and worshiping the wall of the temple. And I can kind of relate to that. This place is where I grew up, where my four children grew up. They were baptized here. I was baptized here. My parents and my wife, the church buried both, all the three of them. I've got four grandchildren that have been baptized here. This is holy ground.
And I think because of that, you have been a proponent of the renewal process to keep updating and helping the church be a wonderful place.
Exactly. Until we started talking about the renewal, I didn't think it looked old and dingy, and then you looked at it, and it needed work. I've told people that we're doing a $20 million paint job, is what it was.
When you think about renewing over 90% of the church, it's pretty amazing.
It is, and it looks so inviting and warm, and this building, you know, been three or four major additions, and you get lost in it. We'll still get lost in it because it's grown that way, but it's a wonderful place.
This brings up another avenue of conversation. I think that one of your superpowers is welcoming people into the fellowship and helping them find their place. One, why is that important to you? And then two, how do you go about it?
Well, walking through the parking lot on the way in.
Recognizing, hey, I don't know you.
I go up to somebody and I say, I don't know you. I probably should. You've been going here 10 years. I walked in last Sunday and there was a couple walking in that I did not know. Maybe they were asking if they'd been members here forever and this was their first time to visit. They were friends of the Roberts who weren't going to be here this week. And, you know, it would have been a shame if they had walked in without anybody speaking to them. We guard that entranceway, but it's easy to get in there and not be spoken to, and I think that would be a real shame. Hopefully they'll come back.
I also know that after you meet people, you've been known to write them a note.
I've done that. You know, text is not the same as writing a note. And if I get a name, I do write a note. I didn't write a note to those to that family.
Not yet.
Now I'll have to do it. You make me feel
guilty.
I'm going
to guilt you.
So, yeah, notes are important. I don't care what's in business or personal relationships or church or whatever it is. A text is not the same.
Another way that you help us to grow is realizing that the church is a billboard. It's the best billboard in town, you would say.
Yeah, it is the best billboard in town. And I kid Vince because he knows if he sees his phone light up that I'm calling, that there's a light out on the steeple or lights are not on the behind the windows in the sanctuary. We need to keep those on. And hearing that my daughter lives a couple of streets from here and being on her porch at 5 o'clock and hearing those chimes and that music, it is beautiful.
My physician recently told me about how meaningful 5 o'clock is for him because he also lives near the church. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go to our church. He doesn't know much about our church, but it's an example of the extended ministry of the church.
Our billboard. You don't have to go to the church for the billboard to mean something to you.
Another quote billboard would be our Living Nativity. Tell me about your history with the Living Nativity and also why it is so meaningful.
Well, I know when it started because I had just a few weeks beforehand turned 16, and you would use any excuse to get out of the house to be able to drive somewhere. And so I was in the first Living Nativity. And
what was your role?
Oh, I was the first Joseph, and Mary Scott was the first Mary. And if you don't believe us, there's nobody who can dispute it. So we're claiming that. But, you know, what would it be 63 years this year? I'd have to do the math. 62, maybe 61 years. And that has meant something across Mountain Brook and across the whole city for years and years and years. Folks that'll never come to church here, but they will not miss the Living Nativity.
I remember the 50th anniversary. We had my child, Webb, who was 3, and Mr. Buck Weaver, who was 93. And I thought that was so cool. Both of them were actors in this portrayal of Jesus' birth and pronouncement that he is king.
Well, I made it, Doug, have it where I was in it with my daughter and her family. So we had 3 generations in the same performance. It was fun.
A couple of family stories. First, I want to hear about your son, Bo, and his basketball team with the Mountain Brook Baptist Christian Life Center.
Well, Bo was one of those athletes that got cut every time going junior high for the basketball team. He would go to the last round, get cut. You know, that's tough on a boy. But finally, he made the JV basketball team in the high school and sat on the bench with all his friends. You know, and the coach asked him the next year to, are you going to come back out? And he said, nope, church league's a lot more fun. They had undefeated seasons, and they would fill the gym with, because they recruited all their friends to be on the team.
So the stands were full too?
Stands were full. The parents would come, and you probably are alluding to the game with the Methodists where, you know, the boys had a lot of rivalry. We always call the church league is, you know, no blood, no foul. It gets pretty rough out there. And we had signs up saying, you know, dunk the Methodists. And it was a fun experience.
Britt, your daughter, is a member of the church and very active. In fact, we have a parenting conference the weekend this airs. And she is a discussion group leader for a small group during that conference. Do you think that she's going to use a lot of your parenting advice?
Yeah, Mary, I'm not happy about this because I know she's going to put me as the example of what not to do.
This is not true.
She will, and so I'm not sure I'm going to look real good after this because when I was a single parent, it was a little different than Leave It to Beaver life, and it took a whole village to raise the boys who were younger, but we survived. We survived. They might not have eaten off of China, but they ate off paper plates, but they got fed and it all worked out.
And you still, to this day, have something with your grandkids and your kids called family dinner. I would love if you would set the scene for us and tell us why it's important.
Well, it's just been going on for, it's been 25 years. They come to dinner every Sunday night.
How did it start?
I think they were hungry. I don't know, but Britt and Chuck lived across the street from me for a while, so, you know, they'd come on Sunday night. But it's fun. It can be wild. They don't come for the food. They come for Lucy Redden used to all of them call up and irritate me, say, what's for dinner? What's for dinner? And I always answer the same way, good company. And they don't come for the food. It's for the company. Last week, just to do something different, I went out and got Bucky's barbecue for them. And,
do you play games, or it's just good conversation?
No, it's in and out. You know, they're ready to get home, and you know, especially now with school starting, and it's a good tradition. We look forward to it, and well, I don't know if they look forward to it. It's just what you do on Sunday night. Glad we don't have Sunday night church anymore.
Well, it is a good opportunity to be as a family, just circling the wagons and an opportunity, too, to have a built-in time to celebrate one another. Tell me more about that phrase, good company.
Well, I told you, Lucy Redden wrote her college essay on good company, and it really made me feel good. It was how getting together with family and was so important to her and is important to all of us. We go on a lot of trips together, and the family is very close. Now, they might two of them are going to be talking about the other two behind their backs, but don't get in a fight with them. They'll all be supporting each other.
You alluded to the fact that your wife has gone to be with the Lord. What season of life were your kids in, and how did that impact your family dynamic?
Well, it was certainly different. Britt was actually married. Kate was, she was in college. Bo was in, Bo had just left for college. He was a freshman. And Charlie was, I think, 14 in junior high. And, you know, so we had to rally. And the girls didn't trust me to be a parent, so they did most of the parenting, I think. It glued the family together because she was one of the super moms, and I think the other moms, some of them here in the church, just really didn't trust me, and so they would start giving me advice on how to do things. But, you know, I'm not sure by the time he's a senior in high school, he got all the chaperoning that he needed, but he did well.
Sounds like they've all done very well. Yeah. With Britt being very active and leading a growth group, and also with a parenting conference, and also Chuck leading out as a Sunday school teacher and an active deacon, and you're a life deacon. Talk to me about the emotion of seeing your children lead out in worship or serving.
Well, it's important, and it just, you know, it really makes you feel good. I guess that's the best word. She's not in the church. We pray for my other families that have gone to the Presbyterian church. But my daughter Kate, the big time ministry here, they had a trip that the boys always go on, and Mark Rector used to lead it. And she said, well, why aren't the girls having a trip? So she started a trip last year. They went and saved Houston. They got back last week from saving Chattanooga with 20 girls and her driving a 15-passenger van. I couldn't believe that she got up Lookout Mountain driving a 15-passenger van, but and they all survived.
Your son, Bo, is at Emory, correct?
Well, he teaches at Candler, and he's been here at the church a couple of times. He preached one Holy Week a few years ago, so they're certainly active. Again, in the Presbyterian church, we pray for them. And my son, Charlie, and his wife, Mary Glenn, they're very active at Covenant. I don't care whether they go here or go there. We need to get her to go here. She's the soloist over there and just had a beautiful voice.
Yes.
I skip out and go listen to her when she sings.
You had your own business. Are you still on staff or have you retired fully?
It's a family business, and I go to work every day, 9:30 or something. I may come back after lunch. They do not listen to me. They laugh at me. They talk about it behind my back. But I've still got a key, so I...
And how did it start? Was it started with your dad or with you?
We actually claimed six generations of the same family. My great-grandfather came back after the Civil War and got to Birmingham eventually and started a business. And there's a dotted line between all those businesses. It's a fun family relationship. My brother's involved with it. He grew up here in the church. But
what's one leadership lesson or nugget that just rises to the top of your mind?
You know, it's really important to work hard and be smart and all these important things they say in the books. But I think luck is a better part of it. And we've been very fortunate in our business. Chuck Redden is running it now. My son Charlie is actively involved. So it's still a family organization.
What a blessing. Your Sunday school class is another aspect of life that I want to talk about. What is your class called?
We are the Encouragers.
And how did it get started?
Well, it was an old class dating when we were all young and children and would have 40, 50 people in the class. It was packed, and Lee and Catherine Allen taught it, Bud Johnson taught it, others taught it. And it just, you know, things changed. Some people left the church. Children grew up, and it just kind of disappeared and merged with another class. And we realized there were a number of people who had been in that class, were active in the church, but had not been in Sunday school class. So we said, well, let's try and start the class back. And it's been good. And now about half of the class are not members of the church or just joined the church. They have
used it's really this an
as,
outreach.
As a door that they have come. The Cleggs across the street have been across the street from the church for 50 years and never walked in the door. And now somebody invited them, and they've joined the church and are real active. And so it has been a door for several couples.
Would you like to make commentary on the passage from today or share a favorite Bible verse with us?
Well, a favorite Bible verse, the psalm today brought that to mind. Verse 10, the lions may grow weary and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So I think a favorite verse for me has always been Isaiah 41:30. Even youths grow weary and tired, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Such a beautiful imagery. That's the way I picture the next stage of my life, soaring on wings like eagles.
What's something that's brought you joy in this season of your life?
You know, I think a grandfather's got one major job, and that's creating memories. And we've taken a number with 13 grandchildren. We've taken a number of trips. Went out to Montana this year. When I take a trip, it's 22 of us. And just last week, I took four of them to the Wizard of Oz in Montgomery. We had a good time down there. And I tricked a couple of the boys last week. I said, we're going to go on an adventure. And they grumbled and agreed to go. And I dropped them off at the food bank, and we packed boxes for food for the day. And they thoroughly enjoyed it, even admitted they enjoyed it. We put Parker Redden picking up the boxes. We ended up doing 4 tons of food and made him move all the boxes. So,
well, he's a strong young man.
Exactly. So. I wasn't going to do it. We do a lot of family time, and that's important for me.
Richard, it has been such a joy to talk with you. I'm so thankful for your life and your ministry and the ways that you extend the hope of the gospel and the fellowship of Mount Brook Baptist in our community. Would you end our time together with prayer?
I will. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this church, for what it means to those of us who are inside the doors and those outside the doors. It's meant so much to me and to my family. I thank you for Mary. I thank you for Wayne, for what they mean to this church and what they're doing to grow the gospel. You have blessed this group of people so much. Continue to do that. This world needs you, and we need to support that. In thy holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.